Thanks for joining us today for another Directions Media podcast. Our special topics podcast today is in regard to Asia-Pacific data. We're joined by two product managers from Pitney Bowes Business Insight, Sean Richards, Director of Product Management from Brisbane, Australia, and Scott Robinson, the Director of Global Data Products in Troy, New York. We're going to talk about some of the obstacles to success of obtaining the data and whether some of the countries recognize the benefits of a more open data policy. Sean and Scott, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for the invitation, Joe.
Let's go over some of the challenges and or changes that you may see in the Asia-Pacific region with regard to data availability. What have you seen in terms maybe over the past 5, even 10 years, in terms of what the countries will allow with the opennesses of the data acquisition policy, and maybe some of the hurdles that have yet to be encountered? So, Sean, maybe just to start with you on some background information.
Yeah, sure. I think we're still in a phase of transition. If you sort of took a long-term view on the whole thing, we have seen some great progress of how clarity has been established on access to data. I guess we've seen for many years, if I go back 7 or 8 years, there's a lot of fog around what you can and can't access, what you can and can't do with some of this data. What we have found by going through the process, establishing this brand of products and seeking that clarity for our clients, mostly globally, we've been able to cut through that fog and get some clear usage allowance on what can be done, what can't be done. At the end of the day, I think we can work reasonably within all the constraints and still deliver fit-for-purpose content. But we're still going. We still find new challenges every day. There's certain countries we're still wondering how we're going to address that. But the progress keeps being made.
And Scott, maybe from a platform standpoint of supporting some of the Pitney Bowes Business Insight software solutions, what are you finding in terms of the demand for some of the products from the Asia-Pac region, from your clients?
The demand really is coming from a couple of different fronts, Joe. We believe that we serve really two different types of customers. There's clearly the local market customer, the in-country customer in Asia-Pacific that's looking for a solution for a country or maybe a country or two. And then you have a multinational customer that could be based in outside of APAC that's looking to expand in that region and is looking to get into more than one country. So we've specifically put plans in place to design our products for both constituencies of customers. And as the new opportunities are really starting to come up as with the acquisitions, so the acquisition of Pitney by Pitney Bowes of MapInfo, and then the subsequent fusion of MapInfo and Group One into Pitney Bowes Business Insight is allowing us to broaden our strategy with respect to the products that we're looking for, focusing on say core geographic content, but putting a premium on data quality, making sure that the location products fit within the data quality that fit well within a data quality strategy, and moving forward as Pitney Bowes corporate opportunities will be coming up within Pitney Bowes within current Pitney Bowes customers to provide location solutions and data quality solutions that we hadn't quite had the opportunity to serve before.
Yeah, and certainly the region is booming, or at least has boomed until the latest economic downturn. And you have to deal with a variety of different public policy constraints in these individual countries, and I'm sure it varies all the way from China to Japan to some of the other Southeast Asian countries, India, Thailand, Vietnam. Can you address some of the kind of the growing pains from the area and the policies that you have to deal with in-country?
A lot of them are well discussed on forums, and like, for example, in India, we have to address constraints around map projections. But within that, we can deliver more than adequate content for our customers, not only domestically, but for some of Scott's customers in the U.S. as well. So we're finding that there's good growth or good demand for our brand of product inside India now, and one of the some of the details I've heard that Sam's provided is that we're now having detailed streets for over 500 cities with addressing content for the six of the major cities. So the material's coming together. I think at the same time, there's a lot of competition that's driving this improvement in quality. The government's obviously supporting that. China was another interesting example. As long as we met the needs of many of our customers that don't need navigation quality data, we can get very high quality data out of China and into countries like the US and Australia to meet the customer needs. So we are finding those paths through the constraints being offered to us. South Korea is proving to be somewhat of a challenge, but again, we're still working through that at the moment. So I think at this stage we're finding more than enough content to keep the portfolio growing without these constraints holding back too many of our customers.
Yeah, and I think India is one of a good example because obviously the country has seen some rapid growth and some rapid industrialization there that maybe has put some demand on the government side to say, hey, look, open up your data a little bit more so that the growth can continue. In particular, again, when you think about business data in the retail sector, the banking, the insurance sector, there has to be this a bit more openness. So maybe can you address, what types of data you're finding are most in demand in those countries, and whether and are those data products in demand more by multinationals or maybe as much from companies inside of India as well?
Well, I think what we're really finding is that because there's such a demand for all sorts of data, that our customers are craving the content. They'll happily sort of accept anything that's fit for purpose and any sort of theme. I guess last time when we spoke to you guys some years ago, the focus was on the spatial foundations, streets, administrative boundaries, addressing where it's available. We're still continuing that and laying those foundations out across more countries. But we're also finding that there's good demand for more specific content, high value content. For example, we've had some great demand from organizations around the world for petroleum permits around the Asia-Pac region. So that's a data set that came through the acquisition of NCOM. It was a MapInfo partner about a year and a half ago, now part of Pitney-Bowes Business Insight, and that's proving to be very interesting as well. We're finding demand in areas of demographic content. In this case, it was petroleum content. We're even finding interesting demand now from content that's not so much spatial, but it's more data quality orientated. Because our focus now at Pitney-Bowes Business Insight is more about not just location, although a lot of what we're talking about here now is location, but it's also the story quite often before location, which is data quality. A lot of our customers who use location data are using it to better their analysis or more informed decision making. But quite often those are the same people who need to deal with data trust issues, being able to trust their data for the analysis. So we're finding good demand for content that helps better support data quality practices in our data quality platform. There's an interesting example I was thinking of the other day. We work with an organization who helps us deal with data quality issues with China, Japan, and Korean type content. And you'd be amazed how many different ways you could spell a city name like Tokyo or spell the country name Japan. There's three or four different English or Romanized script ways, and there's a couple of Japanese dialect script ways, all trying to represent the same basic location reference of Japan. So trying to deal with those nuances is quite a challenge, and that's where we're finding good demand for the content at the moment.
Yeah, and of course, one of the things that Pitney-Bowes is known for, and in particular with the acquisition of Group One, is good quality geocoding. And the geocoding schemes in countries in the Asia-Pac region vary widely. It's not just a sequential along a road segment. It could be chronological. So maybe you could address some of those challenges that you're seeing and maybe how you're solving some of those challenges.
First, it's important to note that the geocoding is a core competency for us. I believe that we've got the broadest offering of international geocoding available in the market today. Geocoding is available at the street level in greater than 25 countries. And we, to a certain extent, view geocoding as really the first step in any location analysis. It's a pretty straightforward basic comment, but to actually go out and execute on that and create geocoding for over 25 countries is quite challenging. So for any market that we're going to try and sell the majority of our products, we're looking to get geocoding down to the street level. And clearly there are challenges in doing that as we expand into Asia Pacific. Each country has got its own specific challenges, and I think Sean might be able to talk a little bit more in detail about some of those challenges. But it is an area of commitment for us to make sure that we do provide as granular level geocoding as possible throughout the region.
Certainly, the major hurdle with geocoding country by country is actually just finding the data in the first place. In many situations, data doesn't exist, hasn't been captured, consolidated, so not a high quality. But again, what we have found working with our data providers over what's been pushing close to 7 years of building these branded products in the region is that they put a lot of energy into getting this data, qualifying it, and then getting it out to the customer. So some great progress being made. But the example we talked about there with India, with some good quality addressing data coming through, that's certainly on the frontier side of things, getting that sort of address out, that address data out. I think what we have been very pleased about is getting some great content out for Japan. But the interesting thing about Japan, because our Street Pro Japan will be coming out this quarter, is that we need one of the biggest challenges is dealing with the expectations of the customer. A lot of our customers are used to making a geocoding or address referencing to a street. But in the case of Japan, for example, detailed address referencing isn't actually related to a street. It's actually related to an off-street banchigo, it's called, reference of detailed, almost point-like geocoding. So very detailed geocoding, very useful, but it doesn't correlate to street names quite like a lot of our customers are used to. So it's dealing with those expectations sometimes and how you do find an address and you geocode it.
Yeah, and Scott, you had mentioned some of the work that is being done with multinationals, and Sean just alluded to some of these not necessarily big obstacles, but challenges. Do you find that dealing with the multinationals, they're aware of some of these challenges, and in particular, if they're finding that they want to do a particular application, but yet didn't know the stepwise progression that they have to go through to get the data quality assured, do the geocoding and whatnot. Maybe if you could address some of some of the companies that you're dealing with and maybe the applications that they want to do.
Well, sure. I think the companies are aware of the challenges. They understand. We try and make that pretty clear when we engage them, when we're selling to them, and we're essentially consulting with them to provide them with transferring our local domain expertise and bring them up to speed and bring them to market quickly. We're very clear with them that what they're used to in their native country may not be the same as they expand into other markets, specifically APAC. But it does become very much a consultative approach for us. The customers that we are having success with, large multinationals, I think have an expectation that even though they may not get the same exact type of performance or result that they're used to in their native country, they are coming to us and they know that they're going to get a very high standard of quality, very professional results, and a company that's committed to making those results improve over time. I mean, we are finding incredibly high quality data. We are now, as we're getting becoming more experts on the data quality side with the fusion of Group 1 and MapInfo, making sure that process of standardizing an address prior to getting into any location type of analysis is a prerequisite for success. So we're learning as we grow and as we communicate with more customers, get more knowledge of what addressing looks like in different countries, and taking that collective pool of knowledge and distributing it back to our customers. So the analysis ends up being similar for the multinationals, the MasterCards, and the Guy Carpenters of the world that that want to locate an ATM in a certain territory or that want to perform risk analysis in the case of Guy Carpenter. The analysis ends up being the same, but we work very diligently with them on the front end to make sure that their addressing conforms with the types of geocoding solutions that we're putting together for each country that we have an offering.
Yeah, and maybe just to summarize some of the comments, in particular in dealing with the MasterCards and the Guy Carpenter, some of the multinationals, what do you see for them on the horizon, and what applications, what data do you see them demanding from you that you'd be able to provide?
We're going to continue to increase the level of accuracy that we have in the countries that we expand into. We're going to expand clearly the level of coverage. So, I mean, you look at where we were in 2004 to where we are now in 2009 with all of the geographies that we're present in. The depth of accuracy and the amount of coverage that we have has expanded dramatically. But we're trying to go into a market and get the most granular level of data to start with, but that sometimes it just doesn't happen. For example, we got into Singapore at a postal level of data, and now we're trying to get in and acquire as much street level as we possibly can. And in Japan, we're able to get in at a very granular level now. But we're certainly trying to get in and expand the coverage and get as much precision as we can around the streets and addressing. So that's clearly in the horizon. I'd also say that you're going to see us expand the types of data that are available, whether it be demographic information, whether it be industry-specific information in specific verticals. Those are areas that we're always looking to add more value.
Yeah, can you compare the level of demographics available in the region versus what you might expect in the U.S.? Is it several years behind, or is the granularity, like down to the product, the consumer product level, not there yet, or do you have expectations of what you might see in the next couple of years?
It really does vary country to country. Some countries run a census every 5 years, some of them every 10. I guess we need to consider the fact that if you need to run a census for every billion people, that's quite a logistical challenge. But that certainly poses some challenges about trying to get good data out of there. But we have found some excellent demographic content coming out of countries like Singapore and Japan. The not so good stuff from other countries, but we have found all the sources for it for most of these countries. We know where to get it. We haven't gone to quite the degree of branding it all up, but we have started to roll out more of the integrated offerings that take demographic data and spatial data and bring it together for retail analytics or emergency planning. So like the AnySight product that's now available in a couple of countries in the Asia-Pac region. So we keep rolling that out as the data meets the fundamental integrity requirements of getting a small boundary so people can analyze to a small boundary.
Scott, did you want to add anything to that?
So I'd say that the types of data that we're used to managing, say in the U.S. around demographics, incredibly granular levels, all kinds of household level data and segmentation information available, all kinds of lifestyle information available. I would say that we're really trying to focus on getting the demographic piece in Asia-Pac and really around the rest of the world. And there are pockets of opportunity to get more of that value-added information, whether it be classification or neighborhood information that's available in several countries. There are some opportunities to get lifestyle information, but it's certainly not as deep an offering as we're used to in the U.S. But we were surprised by the base level of demographic information that's available. So we're definitely taking advantage of that and getting that integrated into our main products.
So maybe, Scott, maybe can you address some of the local knowledge that you're able to tap into, acquiring some of the data that maybe, separates your data sets from others that may be available?
One of the keys is the partners we work with. We have partners in basically every country. We have branded product content for that they're nationals in country. They know all about it. They've been working in that space for years. That's obviously critical. Being in Australia, we're obviously the local experts for that. We promote a lot dealing with products like GNAP, which is a precise geocoding address reference. Built a lot of our offerings around that, and that's generated strong demand globally as we see customers craving that precision geocoding capability. We've always offered, well, not always, we've offered Japanese data for many years, but we've struggled to provide data that's easily digestible for our global clients. Providing kanji script Japanese data to a client in the US is not that popular. So that's where we went out and we sourced new content. We've built a new product, which will be available this quarter, StreetPro Japan, which has dual script. We've managed to get a Romaji or Romanized version attribution for this spatial data along with the native kanji script. And that makes the data much more portable, much more valuable to a much broader audience. And that'll be fueling our geocoding options as well as we move forward. And potentially other offerings after that.
Well, Sean and Scott, thanks very much for your time and giving us a review of data, both geographic and demographic data that's available for the Asia-Pac region.
Thank you, Joe. Very much appreciate your time.
Thanks for joining us today on another Directions Media podcast. If you'd like to comment on today's interview, please write to us at editors@directionsmag.com. Thanks for tuning in. And be sure to tell a friend.